Blog Talk Radio.
Is this Trojan Central?
Hello?
Yeah, I think we got to wait for Rick.
I see that he signed on here.
Yeah, me too.
He must be having problems.
I know. You and me are actually on the air right now. All right, folks, I guess we're waiting for RIC to get in the place to be. He's having some problems, but myself, Rostradamus, and the good Reverend are with you here. Week 17, the last week of the NFL regular season. We have some unorthodox plans for you today. We're not going to go over duds, duds, and sleepers for every game like we usually do, but we're going to start it off with three fringe players that might step up to the mic and produce for you on Week 17, and Rev, why don't you throw some names out there for the people?
Yeah, I mean, some guys that you might want to look at that could actually help you win a title this week if you're still playing. I think one of these guys is Ryan Matthews from the San Diego Chargers. You know, Mike Tolbert is out. Now Matthews is the lead back for the San Diego Chargers going up against the Broncos. He has 2 touchdowns in his last 3 games since returning from injury. And Denver's linebackers have done an awful job filling the gaps in the running game, so I think he's a viable start. Also, one guy that I really happen to like, and I'm actually starting him in one league that I'm actually still playing in, it's Denario Alexander. The wide receiver is a big, long strider who can go up and get the ball, has great hands. And Seattle's secondary is a mess. Number one cornerback Marcus Trufant is well past his prime. I think there's lots of upside with this pick, and at the very least, you know that both those teams are both playing for something. The other guy that I like, excuse me, is a guy that we've been high on the past couple of weeks, and that's Owen Daniels, the tight end. I know he's had a poor season, but he's come back strong in his last 3 games. Jacksonville's linebackers are poor in coverage, as are their safeties. And I'll throw one more guy in there. It's Mario Manningham from the Giants. I thought he looked great last week versus Tremont Williams. I think it could certainly beat D'Angelo Hall from the Washington Redskins with his speed and his double moves. And Carlos Rogers has a bad calf and is unlikely to play. So those are 4 guys I think that can help you this week.
Yeah, I got a few of my own, and I like the Rams pick. I think the Rams are going to have their way today. And you snagged my Owen Daniels, so I'm going to go with 3 guys here. And the first is a guy that we've poked some fun at, but it's not going to be funny the amount of fantasy points he's going to put up this week, and that's Denver's Tim Tebow. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm going to say it. Look, San Diego's packed it in. They're not making the playoffs. Tebow's going to be playing as if it's the Super Bowl like he does every game. He is going to rack up some very serious fantasy points today. I have him in my top 5 quarterbacks of the day. I think he's going to score over 20 fantasy points, if you can believe that. My second guy is also a quarterback, although he's not going to score as highly, and that's Trent Edwards of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why? Because he's going against the Houston Texans, who already have 1 foot on the bus, and even if they didn't, their secondary is so bad that Edwards is going to be able to put up double digits against them today. And the third guy is Atlanta's Jason Snelling. Look, I think Michael Turner is going to play a little bit today, but Carolina's defense is going to be so run over that there's going to be second-half bonus points for Jason Snelling. He's going to get fed the ball. Michael Turner is going to be rested in the second half, and I think Snelling is going to hook up any fantasy players that use him today. Now, we have the three main guys there, Ralph, but let's talk about guys who are way underneath the radar this week. Give me some
I hear Rick in the background.
Hey, guys, I appreciate the holding down the fort, the little technical difficulties, but I'm back in the mix here.
Break it down, brother.
We're going to do it like this. That was your week 17 deep sleepers, baby, or players that can bring home the ring, and I like the Tebow train. We got a Trent Edwards signing, which I don't know about co-signing that one. I don't know if I'm going to put my team on the line with Trent Edwards in the hands of good old Trent. I know Ralph did a couple years ago have that workout. Hey, guys, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down for the people here on Week 17 season finale. This is how we do it. We're going to do something a little bit different, go around the league and answer some burning questions. And, you know, the guys just brought you some Week 17 fantasy football helpers. Of course, if you are playing in the championship, we'll be taking your questions in the chat room, so feel free. Or dial in. We're going to go right over to the phone lines now. And first caller on the line, I believe you're calling from a Skype number. So we're going to punch in the 111 number. And caller, you are on the line. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Fantasy Football Insiders.
How are you doing?
You're doing great, man. You got a
question? You guys doing good? How'd you celebrate your New Year's?
You know what? This is a football show. If you got a football question, I don't really get into my personal life. You got something for us, baby?
Okay. Yeah. Where do you eat and sleep?
All right, we got somebody with a lot of time on their hands.
You have a lot of time on your hands at 8 o'clock in the morning, man.
Yeah, you know, some people they didn't have New Year's plans. Let's go over to 570. You're on the line. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know that you guys are really bad at your job.
Thanks, man.
You like fucking suck dick.
Wow.
We got a lot of prank callers today, 570.
It's that time of the year, okay.
I guess so. The people are getting restless today, boy. All right, let's go over to our next topic. Hey now, give me three players under the radar, fellas. We're talking about sleepers for deep leagues. We're going to stick with this week, week 17. If you guys have any leagues that you're playing in still going on, I know I do. We got a 20-team Royal Rumble going on. So how about some three additional players that may be under the radar sleepers for this week? Let's start it off with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Okay, well, I think Jacoby Jones is a guy that I'd be looking at. You know that Andre Johnson's not going to play. He's out. And this kid, Jones, has been playing a little bit better lately. He's got tremendous physical tools. Matt Schaub is playing at a very high level right now. And I think that he will take advantage of Jones' speed and agility versus a very beatable Jacksonville secondary. Darren Sproles is another guy that I think could light it up this week. Look for Sproles to see action on passing downs since Ryan Matthews is a poor blocker. San Diego's receiving core is banged up, and I think that makes Sproles someone who could be very active. As we all know, Tolbert is out. Ryan Matthews will be the lead back. So I think Sproles and Matthews are both good starts this week. And the other guy, surprisingly, that I think could be a guy, a sleeper that can help you out, is Chad Henne. Miami is letting him throw the ball more. He has 89 pass attempts over the past 2 weeks. New England will look to rest its starters because, I mean, they don't want the same Wes Welker situation to happen to them again where he got hurt right before the playoffs. So I think this is a game where he can flourish. And finally, Joe Webb is another guy that did a fine job managing the game versus Philly. He's got a lot of raw talent and running ability. Detroit is weak in the secondary. And perhaps their best cornerback, Chris Houston, is all banged up with a bad shoulder. So I'd say look at those three, or actually four guys, those sleepers, that can help you out this week.
That was the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. Let's turn it over to Ross Stradamus, Ross Mandel.
Yeah, before I get into my guys, we got to give credit to Cotton Eye Joe Webb. They're going to rename the internet the World Wide Web with two B's after that performance on Monday night on the national stage.
Hoo-ha, hoo-ha.
I'm going to give you three guys here. The first is Indianapolis Colts running back Dominic Rhodes, late of the UFL. He is back, and he is going to get a lot of carries today. Joseph Addai, maybe not 100%. They're going to rest him up a little bit, and Dominic Rhodes has proved able, more so than Donald Brown or any of the other flotsam they have out there. So look for him. I mean, he had 98 yards on 17 carries last week. That's worth a roll of the dice in the deep league. Second guy is Cincinnati's Jerome Simpson, wide receiver, six catches, 124 yards, two touchdowns. Who needs T. Ocho? You know what I'm saying? Look, Carson Palmer got in a time machine last week and went back to his USC days. I don't know what to make of that, but I'm not willing to roll the dice on Palmer, but I am on Simpson. And the third guy is deep, deep, deep undercover, like Eddie Murphy at Beverly Hills Cop, baby. And that's Naaman Roosevelt. Who? Buffalo Bills. Come on, wake up. The Jets are going to be rested this week. He had four catches for 74 yards last week, but more importantly to me, he had nine targets, and I think that's going to happen again this week against the Jets. Probably going to be resting everyone at least for the second half. They're going to go with four wide receiver set in Buffalo. That's going to cause some problems for the Jets, who aren't exactly the deepest team at that position. I think this kid Roosevelt's going to open up some eyes, a local boy from Buffalo, especially in a deep league. So you know what? You want to roll the dice, roll them.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, Buffalo putting together some silent assassins over there between Stevie Johnson, David Nelson, and Naaman Roosevelt from the University of Buffalo. Hey now, how about those Bills circling the wagons? I know the good Reverend left out one player off his list who's going to be getting a look-see today, and that's Joe McKnight for the New York Jets. I know Jets fans are real looking forward for that one. The man who cost us Danny Woodhead, can't wait for that one. All right, guys, Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. Definitely love to hear you guys clearing off the mantle for new championship trophies, such as our good friend Chicago Bears in the chat room. Chairs, always appreciate him and Go Bronx and Real Anakin and Snake Eyes. And, of course, Taz, I mean, this guy week in and week out holding down the chat room like no other. Definitely got to give a shout-out to him. Check out his site, fantasyfootballwiz.com. He also does the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable discussion, which airs on Saturday nights, which you can go back and check the archives. I suggest that you do that after you listen to this show and skip over to Bruno Boys and right over to the Fantasy Football Roundtable Twitter discussion. Hey, listen, you guys have a question, you can always email us, media@nfldraftbible.com. Either myself or all of us will get back to you with a quick response. And definitely check out the NFLDraftBible.com for all your latest news and information. We had Shane Vereen and Jordan Todman declare yesterday, so we're definitely tracking all the underclassmen declaring for the draft. We are following them with their path to the draft. And also, if you check out our account here on All Access Football, there's also another one on College Football Insiders. I mean, we are bringing all kinds of good interviews with all the top NFL draft prospects. So if you're into that, definitely check it out, and looking forward to it. So, guys, sticking in the chat room, we do have one person that's still fighting for a ring, and that would be our good friend Go Bronx. And he wants to know, he does get rushing yards, do count for quarterbacks. He's got the Tebow train, Sam Bradford, Cotton Eli, and Josh Freeman. Started off with you, Ross. Tebow train, Bradford, Eli, or Freeman? Rushing yards do count. Who do you like?
Well, if he's got Tebow, then you got to roll with Tim Tebow there. I didn't see that when I was talking in the chat room. But to me, Tebow's a top five guy today. I mean, considering who's going to be resting, who they're playing against, the situation. I mean, look, the guy produced last week, and I see no reason why he's not going to score, you know, 20 fantasy points this week.
All right. Ralph, you care to weigh in?
Well, yeah, I like Tebow myself, but, you know, last week what he did, I mean, it was very, very impressive. But then again, let's not forget that he put up those numbers versus the Houston Texans. I kind of like Bradford because he's actually playing for something this week. He's going to be on his best, on his P's and Q's. He's going to be trying to bring that team into the playoffs, the Rams, and he's going up against a very, very weak secondary, and he does have some weapons on that team. I'm going to go with Bradford myself.
All right. Well, you know, who knew in Week 17 that we'd be talking about a pair of rookie quarterbacks that we are going to be telling you to take for your fantasy football team. So Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow, whichever way you want to roll the dice, that was actually one of the questions put to Ron Jaworski on the radio this week. And believe it or not, the specific question was, which young quarterback has a brighter future between the three, Tim Tebow, Sam Bradford, and Josh Freeman? And his pick was Josh Freeman.
I agree with him. I do as well.
Well, you know, very, very interesting take, especially coming from Jaws. So I found that a little bit somewhat, not so surprising, but I got to say, for my money, Sam Bradford, this kid is putting together, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the best rookie quarterback season ever. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's never been a rookie to come into the league and do what he's done, you know, almost 600 pass attempts, 3,000 yards passing, you know, a plus, you know, 18 to 14 touchdown to interception ratio. If you put it in perspective historically, because you know I'm a historian, it is simply amazing. And I think Sam Bradford's going to get the job done today as well. So there you have it. We're going to go move on. Hopefully we're going to get the New Jersey Tasmanian Devil on the line with us. Would love to have him ride it out with us here on the final show, so we're standing by for the Taz. But in the meantime, give me a couple players, guys, looking ahead to 2011. Usually third-year wide receivers always get classified as those bust-out players to watch, but we're going to encompass all positions and just talk to us a little bit here, more specifically in fantasy football terms, some players who are ready to bust out in 2011. We'll start it off with you, Ross.
Yeah, well, nice segue, because the top guy on this list for me is Sam Bradford. You know, he's had a decent year statistically. And look, good year for a rookie, but a decent year just for a quarterback. But I think next year, with a year of experience under his belt, you know, they say quarterbacks make that big jump between year one and year two, and I expect Bradford to do it. You pick up some pieces the Rams can on offense, fill in some blanks, free agency. You get a couple of healthy wide receivers back. And it's just that experience factor and the fact that I think the Rams are a team on the come. I think they're going to be improved, and I think Bradford is going to be leading the way for that. Second guy on my list, local product, Kenny Britt, 690 yards and 8 touchdowns in just 11 games. He needs to stay healthy, but more important than that, he needs consistent quarterback play. They got to figure out what they're going to do with the quarterback there. I mean, we could discuss this later, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Vince Young next year, and Jeff Fisher is going to be walking. I think that'll actually help Kenny Britt. You got to have a consistent quarterback if you're a wide receiver, and I think Britt will, and I think he goes nuts next year. He's shown that he can do it in isolated games, but I think he'll be more consistent next season. Last guy, a bit of a stretch here, but I like what I've seen in spurts this year, and that's Javid Best. Look, even with his nagging injuries he's had this year, he's going to approach 1,000 total yards, and he has 6 touchdowns. I think he's one of those guys, and they're these guys every season who their rookie year, they don't seem to understand the rigors and everything that accompanies being a professional football player. And I think sometimes guys like that get it after a year. They come in more prepared. They're more healthy. They're more mentally sound. And I think that's going to happen to Best next year. I think with a healthy Matt Stafford, I think with a solid offense, they're going to add a couple of pieces there to that line. At least they should, and the secondary. I think the Lions are a team on the rise as well, and I think Best is a player who's shown in small bursts that he can get it done, and I think he'll continue to improve as a professional.
All right, Ralph?
Yeah, the guys that I like here are guys that have already given us a taste of what they have, and I think they're going to do even better next year. I'm going to start off with the superstar, Jimmy Graham. Jeremy Shockey is on his way out. Graham has really developed, I think, as the next up-and-coming Antonio Gates type of guy, a former basketball player that's really coming on in the NFL. He's got great athletic skills, 4-5 speed. The kid is 6'7". He has 9 receptions and 3 touchdowns over his last 3 weeks. I think this guy with Drew Brees as his quarterback is going to develop into that go-to guy, especially in the red zone with his size and his athletic skills. I like Jimmy Graham, and I'm going to draft him next year if I have an opportunity. The other guy that I like here is Mike Goodson, the running back from the Carolina Panthers. Here's a kid with top-notch speed and the ability to make defenders miss, and he's also an excellent pass catcher as well. D'Angelo Williams is probably on his way out, meaning that Mike Goodson is going to have a big role in that Carolina Panthers offense. And then finally, here's a guy that we've already touched on, and I think he's on his way to becoming a number one fantasy quarterback. You could probably still draft him as a number two and then watch him become a number one next year, and that's Josh Freeman from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To me, this guy is a Southeast version of Big Ben Roethlisberger. He is a big guy with a big arm. He's got some mobility. And what I like about him most is he's got a lot of guts. He's got a lot of fire. He's very competitive, and he's a guy that works very hard in the film room. I like the way this team is growing around him, particularly the offense. I like me some Josh Freeman next year. That's Jimmy Graham, Mike Goodson, and Josh Freeman as my bust-out players in 2011.
All right, well, keep that thought right there because we have Voltron United, and we have our good friend Taz on the line. You may know him as Fantasy Taz on Twitter or the Fantasy Football Whiz, and let's get him right into the mix here. How you doing today, Taz?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for letting me call in. It's always fun to talk to you guys on a Sunday morning.
Awesome. Love to have you. Let's get right into it. You know, both of these guys have pinpointed Josh Freeman as a bust-out quarterback for 2011. Would love to get your take on it because if you remember a couple years ago, there was also a young quarterback in his second season that made big strides from year one to year two, and then everybody was predicting big things. And Joe Flacco seems like we're still waiting for him to deliver and take that step. What's your take on Josh Freeman? Is he going to go the route of Joe Flacco, or will Josh Freeman succeed and take that next step?
Well, I think it's a great comparison because both of these guys are good football players, good NFL players, may not be great fantasy players just because different reasons. You know, Flacco, they're still in a run-heavy team. They got great running backs there. They don't need to rely on him each and every week. And that's always been, you know, a boon or bust situation for fantasy owners. And I think you're going to end up having the same thing with Josh Freeman. I love the guy as a quarterback. He's got a lot of players all of a sudden around him. LeGarrette Blount is playing great. Mike Williams had a great year. They took a serious blow with Aurelius Ben with the knee injury, and now, you know, what his offseason is going to look like is going to be a little tough. But I do like the way they're going. My problem is, again, it really is going to come down to, is he going to throw the ball enough to be fantasy relevant each and every week? And that's my concern with him. I love him as an NFL quarterback. I just think he's always going to be on that fringe of being a starter in the fantasy league.
Interesting take. So, you know, hopefully you mentioned all those young, talented wide receivers. I do like me a little bit of Sammy Strouder. Would definitely love to see him bounce back and get into the mix a little bit next season. Taz, since we're talking about bust-out players for 2011, anybody coming to mind on your radar who you're keeping tabs on as far as the situation goes for next season?
Oh, absolutely. I got a bunch of them. First, I'm going to start with Andre Roberts in the Cardinals. I don't think they bring Steve Reston back. I'm not a big fan of early Doucette. I've always liked Andre Roberts. I think this kid has a deal. You know, strong receiver, good hands, runs good routes. I think he's going to really be a good candidate for a breakout season next year. And then one of the other guys I like is Bernard Scott on the Bengals. You know, right now it looks like that whole offensive unit is going to be shaken up next year. And I don't know if we see any of the starters back from this year. Next year, I think Scott is finally going to get his shot. I don't think they bring Benson back. And then third one I'm going to go with is Emmanuel Sanders, a wide receiver for Pittsburgh. We're finally starting to see him get into the mix, and I think this kid is really going to take that major leap forward next year, because I'm not sure this team brings back Hines Ward.
Wow, well, that will be something very interesting to keep an eye on. And we'll talk about, you know, some of the free agents later on who could possibly hit the open market. But I like some of the names being tossed around. Andre Roberts was a good one from the Citadel. He had a big week last week or the week before. Jimmy Graham, another good player who I think is going to take another step into fantasy football stardom. And the guy that Russ had slipped in my mind was a wide receiver. Javid Best, a guy, you know, let's see how the turf toe plays out. But, you know, I had my doubts about turf toe Jonathan Stewart, after his rookie season. And look what he did. He was able to turn it around into something positive. So, you know, there are some bust out guys for 2011. Now let's talk about some rookies, strictly rookies, who could be nice, you know, sleeper finds in maybe some of the more deeper leagues for next season, maybe a dynasty league. Some of the rookies who could make an impact next season who really aren't making so much noise this season. Let's start it off with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Yeah, well, I have a couple of guys that have been mentioned already, but let me start off with the wide receiver Golden Tate out of Seattle. He's been inconsistent this year. He has some growing pains. He really needs to become a better route runner. But to me, here's a guy that has some great game-breaking ability after the catch. He's a tough kid who catches the ball at its highest point and can break tackles. I look for better things for Golden Tate. I think this guy's got some special qualities. And then, of course, Jobby Best is another rookie sleeper who I think is ready to take that next step next year. I think we've only caught a glimpse of his breathtaking quickness and acceleration. Emmanuel Sanders is another guy that I have to agree with Taz on. I like him as a rookie sleeper as well, a player who is on the come, who scored twice in his last two games, in his last three games. He's developing nicely into that number three receiver that Lyman Swede was supposed to be. And as Taz said, Hines Ward could be on his way out, and Emmanuel Sanders will fit in very nicely as that number two guy in Pittsburgh.
Interesting. You know, this Hines Ward talk, you know, if that does wind up happening, I'll give you another guy to keep an eye on there in Pittsburgh. That's Antonio Brown. And, you know, he's not making as much noise as Emmanuel Sanders, but if they do get rid of Hines Ward, Antonio Brown, another wide receiver to watch there in Pittsburgh. You might know them as the Young Money Crew. If you log on to NFLDraftBible.com and check them out over there, of course, our residential Steelers guru, Bo Marchant, is at each and every Steelers home game, so he brings us, you know, behind the scenes, inside the locker room, access with the Steelers guys. All right, we're talking about rookie players who could be nice sleeper finds for next season, going roundtable discussion, and next up we have Fantasy Taz.
Oh, okay, I'll throw a few names at you. First one I'm going to start out with is Carolina wide receiver David Geddes. I really like what I've seen from him this year in his limited chances. I think if this team finally figures out what they're going to do at quarterback next year, I think this kid has a chance to break out big time. He's an exceptional talent. I liked him in college. You know, I was really sad to see him land in Carolina just because of that whole situation at quarterback. And, you know, the coaching staff we know is not coming back. So I see big changes coming in Carolina. I think Geddes could be a big recipient of those changes. Next one is going to be Joe McKnight, the running back for the Jets. I'm not sure they see LT come back next year. I think they want to go with the young guys, and Sean Green and McKnight, I think, are going to be the backfield for them next year. And don't be surprised if McKnight, you know, turns out to be the guy. I know they're high on Green, but he's only had a few games where he really showed what he can do. I think McKnight, once he learns the system, could be a big boon for that offense. And then last but not least, I love Anthony Dixon in San Francisco. I think he's a guy that could really surprise. You know, he was a sixth-round pick this year, and he didn't really get too many chances. And when he did get a chance, he was a little hurt. So I think if he can get over that and get into this mix, I think he could be an excellent player for them next year.
Nice. I like it. Talking rookie guys to look out for next season, going around the room. And let's go to Ross Nadamas, Ross Mandel.
Yeah, well, between Geddes, Sanders, and Graham, my guys have been left out there. That's who I was going to say. But I do have one more guy, and that's the Denver Broncos' Demaryius Thomas. Look, I know he hasn't had the most productive rookie season, but once the situation gets stabilized in Denver as far as who's going to be the coach, what kind of system they're going to run, and especially who's going to be the quarterback, I think this kid's got the skills to get things done in Denver, and they need to get rid of a couple of spare parts they have at receiver and go with the guys that they have. And I think that Lloyd and Thomas are those guys. Look, he had a great day against Seattle, I think, in his second game as a pro, 8 for almost 100 and a touchdown. But, you know, he's been banged up. They've been having problems offensively there, and the situation needs to stabilize. But I think Demaryius Thomas, in addition to Emmanuel Sanders and superstar Jimmy Graham, are the three guys that I would point out, in addition to Javid Best, who I mentioned earlier, who are going to have sensational sophomore campaigns.
All right, and those are your rookies to watch for. And we're going to go back over to the chat room real quick, guys, because our good friend Go Bronx. Hey, listen, man, you're not the only one playing in the Week 17 championship. There are others. But, yeah, no, most leagues now, it seems like, are ending in that Week 16 championship. But, you know, you got to be in it to win it. So, guys, PPR needs three of these guys. I'm going to rattle off some names. You tell me which three to rock with. First off, let's apologize last week for steering everybody in the wrong direction with Rashad Jennings. Hopefully you were able to eat that bullet, but I know he ruined a lot of people's days last week. But the question becomes, PPR needs three, and one of those guys is Rashad Jennings. Also, Jonathan Stewart, Freddie Jackson, Ryan Westbrook, Cedric Benson, and available on the waiver wire, Darren Sproles, Michael Bush, and Dominic Rhodes. Don't really like any of those guys. If I have to pick one, maybe Dominic Rhodes. But let's stick to, unless one of those guys stick out to you, let's stick to the main guys, Jonathan Stewart, Freddie Jackson, Rashad Jennings, Ryan Westbrook, and Cedric Benson. I'll start with you, Ross. Which three guys do you like here?
Yeah, I kind of like Stewart, Benson, and Freddie Jackson. I mean, I would normally say Rashad Jennings, but he was so disappointing last week that I can't recommend him this week. Look, I like Stewart. I think as long as he's healthy, and he's pretty much healthy for him, he's going to approach 100 yards. And I think that while I would like to pick Dominic Rhodes, I don't know that he's going to have that many yards today. And I'm pretty confident that Freddie Jackson's going to find the end zone. So I would avoid Rhodes and Jennings. Jennings was just so disappointing last week, guys. I don't know what the story was, but if he had played halfway decently, they probably would have won that game.
Yeah, you know, listen, I don't blame you for Jennings. I'm a little bit of a gambling man, Rev. I might try my chances once again with Jennings this week. That's just me. With Garrard being out and all, I could see them even running the ball even more. But you care to weigh in here?
Yeah, I'm also tempted by Jennings, but if I had to choose from these guys that you just rattled off before, I will tell you, I'd definitely go with Freddie Jackson. This guy's Mr. Everything. He's Mr. Reliable. He's going to get the ball a lot, and a lot of those starters on the Jets are going to be on the bench this week. Another guy is Cedric Benson, a guy who's been coming on, and I think that he has another good week. And then finally, you know, here's a guy that I think potentially could have a great week, but you have to pay attention to whether or not D-Mac is going to play. That's Darren McFadden. He's going to be a game-time decision, but I think that Michael Bush is in store for a big week, and he's already proven that when he does get the carries, this guy just puts up numbers. So I think Michael Bush is a sneaky play this week. So again, if you know Darren McFadden is not playing, I would go with Freddie Jackson, Cedric Benson, and Mr. Michael Bush.
All right, hey Taz, nobody's riding with me on the Rashad Jennings pick. So what do you got here?
I agree with you, Rick. I know Jennings was, you know, a letdown last week, but I like him a ton this week. You know, I think he bounces back. He was doing well before last week. I think last week was just an aberration. I go with Jonathan Stewart, Freddie Jackson, and Jennings.
Okay, I'm going to ride with Taz on this one. I like me some Rashard Jennings to bounce back and make it happen this week. If you got burned last week, let's not get burned by giving up on the guy like Rashard Jennings' chances, especially with David Garrard out. And you're listening to the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, and the Taz, Fantasy Taz Jim Day, joining us. Special edition, Week 17 holiday. And it would be a season finale unless we heard from our good friend, Jersey in the house.
Yo, my brothers from Three Mothers, man. I already thanked my brother on the side, Taz, on Wednesday for his information he gives me on Wednesdays. But you, brothers, I wanted to thank you on my Sunday for tweaking my Sunday thing. Jersey's two championships, too late. I left my five new jerseys in here. Get through, brothers. Get through. My boy Vic gave me 30 points on Tuesday night. I was down 113-108. He electrified my PPR league, so I won both. You know what the consistency was, guys? I had Arian and Nation Foster in both leagues. I had Witten once the homo went down, and they got Kitten as a quarterback. Witten went off me the rest of the year. I had Mike Williams in both leagues. And I had a quarterback. I had Breeze, and I had Vic. But you guys, like I said, helped me on Sundays. Taz and the boys helped me on Wednesdays. So I wanted to personally thank you guys for giving me two championships and some advice. And it's been fun. I look forward to 2011 with you guys.
Awesome. Jersey, love it. Appreciate the phone call. And I look forward to you calling us up each and every week. I love what you bring to the table because, you know, we're a show from anywhere, from amateurs to experts. But it's obvious you come at us with some very good stuff, some in-depth, and makes us think. And, you know, we definitely appreciate it. We love having you on. And hopefully we're back for next season, so keep a tab on us, and wherever we might land, hope you come along for the ride. And, my man, it's time to make some room on the mantle.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, man. I really enjoy it. Best of luck to you guys in the upcoming year. Be safe. Thanks for your voice, man. I really appreciate it. Have a safe 2011.
All right, you too, Jerz. That's Jersey in the house, man, and he brought it home. I was wondering what's going on. You know, we're a half hour into the show. We haven't heard from Jersey. I was like, boy, I hope our Rashard Jennings pick didn't really drown him in the drain. But good to hear those stories, and at least, you know, we were able to help some people out and bring it on home. You know, like I said, you know, Blog Talk Radio is undergoing some radical changes. We've been told we'll be back next season, and the Fantasy Sports Channel really won't have much of an impact due to their changes. But, you know, the Redskins once extended Donovan McNabb's contract, too. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, you can always keep tabs over on NFLDraftBible.com. You know, we'll make an announcement there. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. But we've been doing the show for three seasons, enjoyed doing it, love doing it. And hopefully we are back next season. So let's keep it moving. Let's keep the show on the road. You know, again, if you guys have any questions for Week 17 championships, feel free to drop us a line in the chat room, or you can dial in like Jersey just did, 347-945-6275. Moving right along into our theme for next season, you know, there's a lot of different directions we can go here, and you know, I'm going to start it off with Taz. Hopefully, you had some time to think about this one. An outlandish prediction for 2011 that nobody sees coming. What do you got for us, Taz?
Ooh, outlandish prediction. Yeah, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the Detroit Lions make the playoffs next year.
Okay. I mean, I'm buying that one because I thought they were going to make it this year, so I was probably a year behind on that. But I'll buy that. I think it all depends on Matthew Stafford and if Stafford can stay healthy. But they should definitely bring back Sean Hill as an insurance policy there. But Martin Mayhew, let's give him props because he's done a wonderful job not only in the draft but also in free agency. And he and Jim Schwartz were waiting on Kyle VandenBosch's doorstep first day. Midnight hit of free agency, and we'll talk about, you know, some free agent stuff later in the show. But I'm buying that. Detroit Lions in the playoffs. Ross, you on board with that one?
I'm absolutely on board with that one, Rick. You know, I thought they were going to be a much improved team this year, and I think despite their record, they are, you know, one of the more improved teams in the NFL. Might not show in the playoffs like the Chiefs, but I think they're definitely primed. All they got to do is keep that quarterback healthy. But I'll give you an outlandish prediction, Rick. Are you ready?
I'm sitting down.
All right. Either Albert Haynesworth or Plaxico Burress or both will be a New York Jet next season.
Wow. Wow.
I'll tell you one better. I hope they both are Jets next season. Just so they screw up the Jets.
Just you wait.
You had Plaxico and who else now?
Albert Haynesworth.
No, please, man. I'll take Plaxico. I want no part of Haynesworth.
Yeah, I could kind of see the Plaxico thing. There was actually a little bit of talk, you know, when he went into jail, there was a little bit of talk that the Jets might be one of those teams waiting in the wings, so to speak. But I got to be honest, man, unless he really turned it around, you know, if you remember his final days with the Giants before he went to jail, I mean, Plaxico looked like a shell of himself. And
jail changes a man.
This is true. But he looks like a shell of himself, and I'm not sure. He looks like his better football days were behind him. But I do think he'll find a home in 2011, and the Jets could be a landing spot. And I think what Michael Vick's done definitely helps his case. So outlandish prediction indeed there, Ross. Let's go over to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini for some craziness in 2011.
Yeah, well, Taz beat me to the punch with that Detroit Lions prediction. I'll add one more here. I say the Cleveland Browns shore up that wide receiver core and trade for Steve Smith from the Carolina Panthers. I think that his time has run his course there down in Carolina, and I think that Steve Smith needs a change of venue, a change of scenery, and I think he goes to Cleveland and he helps develop those younger receivers they have down there. And this is a guy that's not too old. He's got some years left, so he's got some gas left in the tank. So I think that definitely Steve Smith gets traded, and I could definitely see him going to a team like the Cleveland Browns.
I don't know, man. I see the Brandon Marshall precedent as an example. If you're a new coach and you come in and you get rid of your team's best player, you're opening yourself up to a lot of trouble.
I understand that, but here's a guy that's got to be frustrated, you know, being there in Carolina. I'm sure he's going to be pushing for a trade. I would just think that he wants to go somewhere else.
You know what? I don't think Carolina is a quick fix, and I don't think Steve Smith, even if he stays on that team, is going to be around to see the days where the Carolina Panthers turn it around. So I would say why not get what you can get for him and restock your draft, restock the roster and start from scratch, blow it all up because, you know, that Panthers team is brutal. I agree,
but only if they do not draft a quarterback. I think if Clawson is who they think is going to be quarterback, I think Smith is out of there, but I think they're going to draft a quarterback.
All right, we shall see. We'll save that question for later on in the show. I got to say, I am very excited, despite what some people might think about John Elway's resume as an executive in the Arena Football League and all that. You know, listen, I'm excited about Elway coming into town, taking over the Broncos along with the Tebow train. You know, I think they're going to restore that organization back to stability. Am I ready to make a playoff prediction? Not so fast, my friend. I'm going to go in a different direction here for an outlandish prediction. And maybe it's not so outlandish. I don't think it is, but you know, maybe you guys do, and I'm going to say in 2011, Randy Moss will no longer be in the league where they play for pay.
I think that would be a surprise, but it wouldn't be a shock.
It would be a surprise, but I could definitely see that.
Well, if you think about it, first off, Randy Moss, in his eyes, is going to think he's worth about $10 million a year. Kind of a little bit of a Terrell Owens type of thing. You know, I can't see a team possibly throwing more than like a one-year, $1.5 million type deal. And this is going to be Latrell Sprewell all over again. Hey, man, I got to feed the kids type of thing. And if you throw in the NFL lockout into the equation and he does miss 8 to 10 games or whatever, nobody's going to want that dude.
Yeah, I think someone will give him an incentive-based contract and he'll think that he can exceed all the incentives and he'll sign.
We shall see. All right, let's go on to our next topic. And, you know, Detroit Lions obviously might be a surprise team next year, but, you know, maybe that was Taz's pick. But the next question here, we're going to do a surprise team who did not make the playoffs this year, but will make the playoffs next year. We're going to start it off with Ralph. We'll go Ralph, Ross, and then Taz. Take it away, fellas.
Okay. Teams that didn't make it this year and will make it next year. Again, I'm going to have to go with the Detroit Lions. I think what they need to do is add a shutdown corner. Hopefully in the draft they'll be able to get somebody like a Patrick Peterson from LSU, and they need to get a between-the-tackles running back. Maybe if they could trade for a guy like D'Angelo Williams to pair up your Jahvy Best, I think Detroit, if they do those things, could be a playoff team. And then a second team I'll throw in there, the Oakland Raiders. Here's a team that actually did a good job drafting this past season. And to me, I look at their defense and I see a lot of playmakers there. If they can keep Darren McFadden healthy and they can develop one of those receivers that they have into possibly a number one receiver, and maybe, who knows, maybe they could become a playoff team. They've come very close this year to becoming that playoff team. And I would keep Tom Cable there as the head coach. I think, you know, here's a guy who, you know, with limited resources in terms of talent these past few years, has done his best. And I think that if you do another good job of drafting and pick up some good free agents in the offseason, I think Oakland is a team on the come.
All right. What about you there, Ross?
Yeah, you know, I think it's no surprise I have the Lions as a surprise team. With that, I love their offense. I think that defensive front is what you need to make it late into the season. And as Reb said, if they could plug in some pieces in the secondary, I think they're definitely a 10-win team if Matt Stafford is able to stay healthy. If not, the other team I have here as a potential playoff team, they're going to come close this year, and that's Tampa Bay. Look, I like Josh Freeman. I think that when you have a quarterback, excuse me, who's able to throw the ball effectively, you do tend to cater your offense around that. And I think with Ben and with Williams, you know, you have LeGarrette Blount to stabilize it, make it a pretty even-handed offense. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, again, a couple of pieces on defense need to be plugged in. They clearly need some depth in the secondary at the very least. I think they're definitely a team to watch as far as a playoff threat next year.
All right, Taz, I know you gave us the Detroit Lions. Last question, you have another team that might make the playoffs next year that did not make the playoffs this year.
No, I don't have a team that might make the playoffs next
Uh-oh.
Year. I have a team that
Ooh.
Will make the playoffs next year, no doubt about it. And I'm not going to go with the Lions. I already used the Lions, so I'm going to go with another one, and I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders. I think the team has a lot of good pieces in place. I think they're heading in the right direction. They made some mistakes this year. I think they correct them in the offseason. And with a few more key pieces, I think this team is guaranteed to take that AFC West next year.
I'm with you.
All right. So we got two for the Raiders. Looks like the Raiders are under the cable guy. I don't know about that. We shall see. Let's go back over to the chat room, guys, where we have a PPR kick return yardage league, 25 points for every 1 point for every 25 yards. Kick return needs three of these guys. Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, Danny Amendola, Devon Bess, Meacham, Jacoby Jones. Also, Jason Avant and Denario Alexander are available on the wire. He's one of these guys that just is not sold on Mike Williams, the Rodney Dangerfield of this ish. So one more time, Ralph, I'll start it off with you. Give me three guys. Kick return yardage does count, and it's a PPR league. Mike Williams, Danny Amendola, Devon Bess, Robert Meacham, Jacoby Jones, with Avant and Denario sitting on the waiver wire.
Avant, and who's the second guy sitting on the waiver wire?
Denario Alexander.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I'm definitely going to go with Mike Williams here. And then the other two guys, I mentioned before, Jacoby Jones to me is one of the sleepers this week. You know, with Andre Johnson out, I think he steps up. I love the way Matt Schaub is playing. He's got a great matchup versus Jacksonville. I will go with Jacoby Jones, and I'm also going to go with Denario Alexander from the Rams. Here's a big guy. He's got some playmaking ability, a long strider who can go up and get the ball, great leaping ability. He's playing in a game that really counts. I think it's going to be the game of the week. It's going to be on Sunday night, and I think he's going to shine in prime time. So my three guys are Mike Williams, Jacoby Jones, and Denario Alexander.
Ross, any love for Robert Meacham with Marcus Colston being out this week?
Yeah, a little bit, but when you're rolling with the Saints receivers, it's kind of a risky proposition. You know, Meacham put up, 100 yards last week and had 10 catches, but he could just as easily have 2 for 40 this week. So I tend to lean toward Mike Williams, Jacoby Jones, and, you know, you throw in that kick return yardage, it's a few extra points for Danny Amendola. So I'm going to go with him as my third guy.
All right. Taz, you want to weigh in on this one? We got Mike Williams, Amendola, Devon Best, Robert Meacham.
I got my answer already, and it's no problem for me. I don't like Mike Williams this week against New Orleans, with New Orleans in a must-win situation. I think they're going to shut him down. I'm just not liking his matchup. I love Jacoby Jones this week, especially with Andre Johnson out. I like Best a lot this week against New England, especially once New England goes into their shutdown mode and puts all their starters on the bench. I think he has a chance to put up some good numbers against them, especially with Miami probably having to throw from behind most of the game anyway. And then my third one is going to be Amendola. You know, I like Denario Alexander going forward, but it's hard for me to count on him week to week. He's not there yet. Amendola, he could catch you a lot of passes and get you return yards. I think he's a no-brainer.
What about Jason Avant, man? I think he's going to see some extra targets this week, but I wasn't confident enough to pick him. What do you guys think of him this week?
Well, you know what I think about Jason Avant? I think when he's had some opportunities to make plays this year, he's dropped the ball uncharacteristically. He's kind of disappointed me this year. He's had some big drops in the end zone. I know he's a guy that they like to go to in the red zone. But you know what? I mean, if my championship is riding on Jason Avant, I wouldn't feel all too comfortable with him.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that. I think you definitely got to find a way to work Amendola into the equation. I like the fact that he's been doing his thing on the kick return, punt return, yardage deal, and he reminds me of a Wes Welker light, and I mean light, a poor man's Wes Welker. Let's keep it in the chat room, guys. I love these questions. Keeper League, Carryover League, Chicago Bears, who won the championship, cheers, needs to know which three guys would you keep at this point for next season. I'm going to rattle off the names, and we'll start it off with you, Taz. DeSean Jackson, Maurice Jones-Drew, Michael Wallace, Ahmad Bradshaw, Ryan Matthews, Jonathan Stort, Anquan Boldin, Sean Green, Rashard Jennings, and D'Angelo Williams, forgotten man. Give me three guys from that list, Taz, that you would keep for next season. Taz, are you with us? Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm here. I would go with MJD. I think he's a little bit of a risk, but I think he comes back strong next year, and he's definitely a touchdown monster when he's playing healthy. I like Stewart next year with no D'Angelo Williams in the mix, and I like Wallace. I think he get a nice, strong wide receiver that has a good chance to score, you know, pretty much every week.
All right, so Maurice Jones-Drew, despite the surgery he's undergoing, I believe, this week, Taz says keep him, along with Jonathan Stort and Michael Wallace, the 60-minute man. Ross, who are you riding with here?
Yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew and Mike Wallace were definitely the two that jumped off the page to me, but I'm going to go with the guy I can't stand personally, and that's DeSean Jackson as the third guy. Look, I know there's problems with consistency, but to me, as long as Mike Vick is the quarterback, and look, you know, if the Eagles don't re-sign him, there's going to be a riot in Philadelphia, so I think they will. I just think there's going to be too many opportunities for those, you know, 60, 70-yard plays down the field, and to me that makes him a pretty valuable commodity. And I think Stewart, you know, I like him a lot, especially even when he came out and had the turf toe Johnny moniker. I liked him, but I don't know that I would keep him over a guy for the big play, especially with Ralph's boy Mike Goodson there. A little riskier proposition to me.
Yeah, you know, Ralph, when I look at these questions, I don't know about you, but I usually like to side with the running backs. And to me, you know, listening to the show, nobody loves Mike Wallace more than I do. I've drafted him on every single team. But to me, I would actually let Wallace walk, because here's why. You can still get Mike Wallace, and his name is Jacoby Ford. So, you know.
Yes.
I'm telling you, you can let Mike Wallace walk. You can get the same player in Jacoby Ford, because he will be a game breaker next season. And I might consider looking at some of those running backs, such as Ahmad Bradshaw and Ryan Matthews, even D'Angelo Williams. So,
D'Angelo Williams going to be playing?
Well, that's the thing. I think D'Angelo Williams is going to get traded to, let's say he gets traded to the Detroit Lions. I think that's a perfect spot for him. You pair him up there with Javi Best in a high-octane offense with a healthy Stafford, and then you got Megatron at wideout. I think he could be fantastic in that type of offense. So you know what? I would go with three running backs here. As much as I like DeSean Jackson, I would go with MJD. I would go with D'Angelo Williams. And then the other guy I'd go with, because to me, as Rick says, it's all about the upside, I would go with Ahmad Bradshaw. I know he has his fumbling problems, but I'm going to count on the fact that he's going to be working on that. And, you know, hey, if Tom Coughlin sticks around, he did a pretty good job with Tiki Barber and, you know, helping him become more secure with that football in his hands. So I'm going to go with MJD, Bradshaw, and D'Angelo Williams.
I'll tell you this, guys. You know, look, don't assume 100% that Ahmad Bradshaw is coming back as a free agent.
All right, well, you know, we'll talk about that later on the show. And don't assume Tom Coughlin will be there to teach him how to hold the ball. Right?
I said if.
The only other problem
you have with Bradshaw is he just doesn't score enough touchdowns. And if you're talking the standard scoring league, I'd rather get the guy like Stewart who's going to score you touchdowns.
I'm with Taz on that one.
Interesting. Okay. Let's keep it in the chat room and then try to bring home some championships here. The boys, welcome to the show. Good to see you each and every week. Need to know, non-PPR needs one of these guys, one of these guys. LeGarrette Blount, Rashard Jennings, Ronnie Brown, Ryan Terrain, Danny Woodhead, or Sean Green. Ralph, kick it off with you. Blount, Jennings, Brown, Terrain, Woodhead, Green. Need one.
And Green, okay.
Ah, boy, this is a tough one here. I think, I do like Blount a lot, but as Taz said, he does have a tough matchup versus the Saints, and they actually gave Michael Turner a tough time on Monday Night Football. So, you know what, I'm going to go with Rashard Jennings. I'll give him another spin over here. I like his matchup, and he is going to see the ball a lot. He's going to see the volume of carries. I'll go with Rashard Jennings one more time.
Okay, Jennings for the Reverend. What do you got for us? Who are you rolling the dice with, Taz?
I agree. I agree with the Rev. I'm going to go with Jennings in this one. Don't like Blount a lot in this one. If Tampa Bay gets down, he's pretty much out of the game plan. So I definitely think Jennings is the guy.
All right. Russ, are you going to make it unanimous?
Yeah, I kind of felt similarly about LeGarrette Blount. I think he would have a good day, but I think they're going to be down, so it's going to take him out of the game. I'll tell you what, I'm going to roll the dice and go with Sean Green. I mean, I think he's going to get enough carries to approach 100 yards, and I think he's going to find the end zone today without Tomlinson being a factor at all.
Okay. I think Joe McKnight, they might want to get a look-see at him, so I don't know. I think McKnight might actually get the most carries with the Jets this week. I'm just saying. All right, let's keep it in the chat room. We got Go Bronx in the house wants to know, PPR league, Jacob Tammy or Owen Daniels, Taz?
Yeah, it's a tough one for me. I really like Tammy a lot this week. But, you know, Daniels with no AJ, I think he's going to be a crutch for Schaub. You know, my gut feeling is saying Daniels is the guy this week.
Ross.
Yeah, I like Owen Daniels this week. I have him as my second-rated tight end behind only Jason Witten, so I got to stick with Owen Daniels. I just think he's the go-to option, so I'm going to go with him.
Ralph.
And make that three, because at the top of the show, I also liked Owen Daniels as one of my primary guys this week, a guy that can really help you out during your champion week 17 week. I love the way Schaub is playing, and I think, as Ross said, Daniels is going to be the go-to guy.
All right. Well, it sounds like a no-brainer to me if I got these three guys telling me. So there you have it. Sticking in the chat room, non-PPR guys needs two wide receiver and a flex. Get your pen and pencils ready. Kenny Britt, Johnny Knox, Jason Avant, Blair White, Deion Branch, LeGarrette Blount, Ronnie Brown, Ryan Terrain, Steve Woodhead, Sean Green. Ross, I'm coming to you first. Britt, Knox, Avant, Blair White Project, Deion Branch, Blount, Ronnie Brown, Terrain, Woodhead, Sean Green. Give me two wideouts and a flex.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, we're going to go with Kenny Britt for sure. I think he's going to have a decent day. I think he'll find the end zone. They're going to be passing an awful lot. Wow, that second wide receiver is, I guess I'm going to go with Johnny Knox. You know, he had a couple touchdowns last week, so let's ride the hot hand. And as far as running backs go, I'm going to stick with my guy, Sean Green. I'm going to sink or swim with him this week.
Okay, swimming with the fishes. Ralph, two wideouts and a flex.
You know, I'll definitely go with Britt. He's a no-brainer. And then as far as these secondary wide receivers go, you know, it's really, I don't see much difference between any of them. If I had to pick one, I would go with Blair White over Johnny Knox, just because Johnny Knox has a tough matchup versus a very good Green Bay secondary. So I don't see him going off like he did last week. I would go with Britt and Blair White as my two wideouts. And as far as running backs go, I'd probably go with Ronnie Brown here. Again, New England's not playing for anything. They're going to be sitting a lot of their main guys. So I'll go with Ronnie Brown.
All right, Taz, Kenny Britt seems to be a lock. You got another wideout and running back for this equation.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jason Avant. You know, this Dallas team can definitely be thrown on all day. Avant's going to be in there most of the game. Kevin Cobb, you know, he right now could be auditioning for a new team to start somewhere next year, so I think he wants to come out and put up big numbers. So I like Avant a lot this week. I would go with Britt and Avant as my two wideouts. And then, you know, it's a tough one out of these running backs because they all have issues. I don't like Blount in this matchup. I think they get behind. He doesn't run as much. I don't like Terrain against the Giants. The Giants have definitely shut him down. Woodhead, we just don't know how much work he's going to get. You know, same thing with Sean Green. So I'm going to agree. I think Ronnie Brown is the play there.
All right, I'm going to confuse things a little bit more. And, you know, what I'm going to do, I'm looking at this formula here for success, and I'm actually going to do something that I usually don't do, and that's going to be ensure myself. I'm going to start, obviously, Kenny Britt, and then I'm going to throw Deion Branch and Danny Woodhead in there, two Patriots, and I think they're going to score a lot of points, even if they do rest in the second half. Just calling it a funny feeling with Deion Branch this week. I think he's due. And I like what Danny Woodhead, the little big man, brings to the table. So I'm going to ensure myself some points with the Deion Branch and Danny Woodhead connection. Keeping it in the chat room, Dazed and Confused, always good to see you. Needs two quarterbacks, Ralph. Kerry Collins, Rex Grossman, Kevin Cobb, and Sean Hill. Kerry Collins, Rex Grossman, Kevin Cobb, and Sean Hill. Which two do you like?
Yeah, for me, this one's pretty easy. I would definitely go with Kevin Cobb. Here's a guy that, when he's been thrown in there, has put up numbers. So to me, I think he's already proven himself to be a decent quarterback, and they do pass the ball a lot with that Philadelphia Eagles team. And then the other guy that I like here is Sean Hill from the Detroit Lions. I understand that Calvin Johnson is a game-time decision, but even if he doesn't play, Sean Hill is a guy that I like the way his offensive line is playing. He's going to get good protection, and he's a guy that spreads the ball around. He's got some scrambling ability as well. I'm going to go with Hill, and I'm going to go with Cobb.
Kevin Cobb and Sean Hill for the Reverend. What do you got here, Taz?
I totally agree. For all the reasons he said, I think Hill and Cobb are the plays there.
Ross, unanimous?
Three for three. I like Sean Hill's ability to throw the ball down the field to Calvin Johnson today against Minnesota.
All right, there you have it, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, and the good special guest we have, Tasmanian Devil, the Taz, Fantasy Taz, Fantasy Football Whiz, all kinds of monikers. He's in the house, and we're going around the league of mystery and intrigue. Let's keep it in the chat room with the PPR and kick return yardage question. It's between Rashard Jennings and Devon Bess. Who do you like there, Ross?
Oh, wow. You know what? Usually I'd go with the running back, but I'm not going to here. I'm going to go with Devon Bess. I just think he's going to rack up a lot of receptions and a lot of yards. And I just, after last week, I was disgusted by Rashard Jennings. And I know, as Tad say, it could be a one-time thing, but I'm not willing to roll the dice with him at all. And, you know, Bess has done me pretty well on my team in the deep league this year, so I'm going to stick with him.
All right. Reverend, Jennings or Bess for the flex?
Well, as you know, 9 times out of 10, I'll go with the running back over the receiver. And for me to go with that wide receiver, he better be a heck of a player. I'm sorry, I can't go with the running. I can't go with the wide receiver in this case, not Devon Bess. I know he's been productive this year, but he's not good enough for me to go over a guy like Jennings, who can see a lot of carries and has a good matchup this week. I'm going to go with Jennings.
All right, we have a split decision. Taz, which way are you leaning, Devon Bess or Rashard Jennings for your flex?
Well, this is definitely a key question because both of these guys, I think, have a chance to have good games. I think the punt return and kick return yardage, though, could swing the battle for Bess, especially against New England. I mean, if New England scores heavy early on while the starters are still in there, that means a lot of return yards for Bess. So I think I would swing towards Bess.
Ooh, good point. I'm right on the fence. I think you can go either way. I think Bess is the safer play, but you know me. I like that upside. I think Rashard Jennings could go off, and I might just be willing to roll the dice on that one. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, season finale, about an hour left. You can always check out NFLDraftBible.com for all your latest news and information. We are getting into draft season, fellas, so definitely keep it locked at the NFL Draft Bible. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Taz, you definitely want to follow him on Twitter, at Fantasy Taz. And what about your radio programming schedule, Taz, there? Where else could people find you? Will the show continue, or what's the latest and the greatest with you?
Oh, yeah, no, my shows will continue all off season. So the best place to find me is just on Twitter, at Fantasy Taz. Everything I do is always posted on there.
Okay, so simple enough. Let's get over to some of our burning questions for next season. We were talking about, teams, surprise teams who didn't make the playoffs last year but will make the playoffs next year. Let's take it a step further and talk about a team that's kind of on the doorstep, on the verge of taking the next step towards NFL elite status. And when I mean elite status, we are talking about the New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New Orleans Saints, teams of that caliber, teams of that ilk. And maybe the team is in the playoffs this year, or maybe they're not. You know, I think Tampa Bay Buccaneers might be getting some consideration, taking that elite step if Josh Freeman is as good as everybody says he is. But let's start it off with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini for a team on the verge of taking the next step towards NFL elitism.
Yeah, that team for me is the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Scott Pioli's done a great job in assembling his roster of talented weapons over there. He's drafted a lot of playmakers on that team. And I like the job that they did with Matt Castle, transforming him from a shaky quarterback into a guy that gets it done each and every week. As I said, I love their weapons. If they can make that defense a little bit better, I think that here's a team that's going to be poised to be a playoff team consistently for the next 4 to 5, maybe even 6 years. And, you know, another thing that really convinces me that Kansas City can be that team, that solid and even elite team going forward, is the fact that the San Diego Chargers have already announced that North Turner will remain with the team in his head coach spot there out in San Diego. I mean, to me, I mean, North Turner is one of the worst coaches out there. I put him right down there with the likes of Wade Phillips. And if I'm a San Diego Charger fan, I'm extremely depressed at, you know, having Norv as my Turner going into next year, having North Turner as my coach next year. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs here.
And as Rev was saying that, we had a question come in, North Turner or Rich Kotite? All right, guys, going around the room, Taz, a team, NFL team that will kick it up a notch and take that next step into NFL elite.
Well, I was going to take Kansas City, but since somebody already took Kansas City, you bum, I'm going to take another one. You know what? I'm going to go with the St. Louis Rams. I think this team is going to surprise the heck out of everybody going forward with what they've done this year with a rookie quarterback, with that wide receiver core that's been just bounced around all year round, and they're still in the mix. They're still in the chance to get a 500 season. Nobody would have expected that coming into the season. They have a good, solid defense. I think if they take that next step, they have a chance to move into that elite. I think they're going to be a playoff team for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the team. Who was it?
The Rams.
The Rams. Oh, okay. I like that pick. I really hope that Sam Bradford could really get in there this year. I'd like to see him in the playoffs. So I am personally rooting for St. Louis this week. How about you, Ross? Give us a team that's ready to take the next step.
Yeah, you know, who thought that both my primary and my secondary pick would both be taken when I went? But that's the case here. Those are the two teams I like. Look, with the Rams, you got the quarterback and you got a defensive stud in Mr. Long, who I think is going to solidify that team for years to come. Plus, they're playing in the right division as far as I'm concerned. But the team I really like is the Chiefs. Look, they got a solid as all get out running game. They got a very dependable quarterback who doesn't make mistakes. Sounds familiar to the setup in New England with the staff they have there. They have an improving defense in Kansas City that has some spare parts in the secondary that can help. And look, they have a solid coach for all of his antics. I think Mr. Haley is, first of all, coach of the year, and second of all, I think he definitely has stuck with his plan, and it has paid out before probably anybody thought it would. The only concern I have is, can they get Charlie Weiss's kid to transfer to the University of Missouri? You know, we'll see if that happens, but they're going to lose him and have to replace him, but I don't think they'll miss a beat, and I think they're solidified in that division. San Diego, as the Rev said, I think their window is shut with North Turner there, and I don't like them at all going forward. I like the Raiders more, but I think the Chiefs are destined to be on top.
Well, I think that's a good pick, and I think the one team that people were quick to put in that category, maybe for the past two seasons, and you know, there's a lot of patchwork that needs to be done, but if they can do it. Then the Green Bay Packers, listen, you know, everybody's been waiting for this team to take that next step, and they haven't been able to really have all the pieces of the puzzle come together at once.
Oh, I think they will.
Well,
yep, me too.
You know,
season ain't over.
Well, you're saying for this year, really?
I'm saying for this year.
Okay.
I agree with that.
We shall see. Definitely a team nobody wants to play going into the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers finally won a big game in his career. We'll see if that trend continues into the playoffs.
But I got a point about that, Rick, real quick. You know, if nobody wants to play this team in the playoffs, why would Chicago not start their starters and try and beat them this week?
Exactly.
Think about it. If I'm the Bears, who do I want to face if I have to down the road? Do I want to face the Packers or do I want to face the Giants?
Yeah, would
I'd
you
much
like
rather
to get
face
a little
the Giants right
yeah.
now.
Don't you think the Bears should want a little revenge for that absolute disgrace they put forward in the Meadowlands?
I don't know. But that's what I mean. I'd rather play the Giants upon the Bears
that's
in the playoffs than I would rather play the Packers. So why let the Packers slide in?
I couldn't agree more.
I agree 1,000%. I'm on board with everything that you guys say. The way I was raised to play football, you never –
you never play without giving it your all. You never play without giving it your 1,000% effort. You never play less than you're capable of playing. And to me, it defies all logic. It defies everything I was taught growing up playing football. And just the competitive spirit in me alone, I think if you have a competitive bone in your body, you would go all out and you would play your starters. And
well,
I don't get it.
I think it's as simple as this, Rick. I think Lovie Smith sees Clay Matthews demolishing Jay Cutler and knocking him out. I mean, I think it's that simple.
Well, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with what you guys say. And, you know, that line for all you Vegas players, I mean, that line has done the jumpy jump, loop-de-loo, crazy skyrocket, double-digit. You know, I think it's like 10.5 points now, which is just outlandish, if you ask me. Keeping it moving here, though, you know, we talked about some possible free agents during the show, and, you know, there's always a marquee name or two or three on the move each and every offseason. I think Julius Peppers probably was the biggest free agent splash of a year ago. I know we like to concentrate more on the offensive side of the ball, but let's go around the room and talk about, you know, a couple of these guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents, some players to keep an eye on the free agent market during the offseason. Let's start it off with the Rostradamus, Ross Mandel.
Yeah, I think there might be a restriction or two on these guys, but the three guys I have here, D'Angelo Williams, you know, he could potentially turn a team's offensive fortunes around. I think he's not getting enough credit for being a solid running back. I know he's not the best of the best, but he's certainly in that next tier. And it'll be interesting because I think he's out of Carolina. We'll see where he ends up next year. You know, it really could be anywhere, depending on what else happens in the free agent market and the draft. The second guy that I think is very intriguing, I don't know if he'll stay, but the chances are a lot better now than they were at the beginning of the year, and that's Richard Seymour of the Oakland Raiders. Look, I mean, this guy's a difference maker, you know, when he feels like playing, which has been often this year. He's had a terrific season. I'm not sure what exactly is going to happen in Oakland, but the guy might want to test the market. We'll see what happens with him. And the third guy is going to be Vincent Jackson. I mean, doesn't this guy want to get out of there from under the thumb of the just Lord of No Rings, A.J. Smith, over there in San Diego? Vincent Jackson, again, a guy who can make a difference, and I'd say more so than Anquan Boldin did a year ago. I think Vincent Jackson make a nice addition to any team's offense and can help change that whole, you know, all their offensive fortunes around. I think he's a fantastic receiver, and I'd love him on the Giants, quite frankly.
All right. Some interesting names to keep an eye on, situations that we will be watching during the offseason. How about you, Reverend Ralph Mancini? Who are some of the marquee free agents that you will be monitoring during the offseason?
Well, I have two guys, and they both play the running back position. Number one, I have to agree with Ross on D'Angelo Williams. If I'm looking for a guy that's going to reignite my running game, that is D'Angelo Williams, a guy that a couple of years ago was just fantastic, a guy that's hard to bring down, has got breakaway speed, can do it all as a running back. And then the other guy, he's not as good as D'Angelo Williams, but he's a guy that can definitely play a role, and that's Darren Sproles, the little man from San Diego. I think that now you've seen the impact that these little scat backs can have on certain teams. You know, look no further than a guy like Danny Woodhead with the New England Patriots. I think, you know, with a change of scenery, if he gets into the right situation with the right team, I think Darren Sproles is a guy that could really help any offense out there with his game-breaking ability, can return kicks, catch passes. And as a guy that, you know, is so small, it's very hard for the defense to see him half the time, and that's the type of dangerous player you want if you really want to improve your offense. I think Sproles and I think D'Angelo Williams are two guys, two running backs, that I think are going to be highly sought after in the offseason.
All right, Taz, you got some free agent names to keep an eye on for us?
Oh, absolutely. There's a ton of free agents this year, and new CBA is going to determine what a lot happens with a lot of these guys. But I'm going to start with Steve Smith of the Giants, unrestricted free agent next year. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Giants bring him back. I think they should, but this is the Giants. I'm never sure what they're going to do. They always tend to surprise me, but I think if he doesn't stay with the Giants and somebody's getting a great great move to change type of receiver in Steve Smith. And then the other one is going to be Mercedes Lewis from Jacksonville. I mean, talk about a guy stepping up to the plate for his contract year. Nobody did it better than Mercedes Lewis did this year. No better way to do it than to have your breakout season in your contract season. I don't think he stays in Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville does like Zach Miller a lot. I don't think they want to pay Mercedes Lewis the money he's looking for. So he's going to be out on the free agent market, and there's a lot of teams that could use a great, you know, big tight end like Mercedes Lewis. So those are two guys I think are going to make a big impact.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I hate to say it too, but I think Smith is definitely a goner here in Jersey with Hakeem Nicks and Mario Manningham stepping up their game. I know they like the kid Victor Cruz. Ralph, you mentioned Darren Sproles. It made me think of a guy we forgot to mention in terms of rookie players to keep an eye out for next season. I really, truly believe from the bottom of my heart that Dexter McCluster is going to be a difference maker next season in that Kansas City backfield. I'm not exactly sure of what Thomas Jones' status is for next season. I would say there's probably somewhat of a chance that Thomas Jones does not return. And if that is the case, if you have Dexter McCluster in a keeper league or dynasty league, I definitely like him to be a big-time player in the National Football League. So definitely some names there worth monitoring that we'll be keeping an eye on, and definitely some guys that will have big fantasy football implications depending on where they sign. So, you know, some intriguing players there for sure. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, Jim Day, the Taz, joining us here on the season finale, Week 17, our last show of the season, but not our last show altogether. If you follow us on All Access Football, or maybe even our College Football Insiders channel here on Blog Talk Radio, then you already know we do tons and tons and tons of player spotlight interviews. We try to interview at least every player once that we think is going to get drafted, and we try to interview each and every player, literally. We also have a college football show on Thursdays from 5 to 6. Appreciate the shout-out to Real Anakin in the chat room. You know, definitely a good show. We had the BCS director, Bill Hancock, on this past Thursday. If you want to go back and check the archives, we asked him what he thought of Mark Cuban's playoff proposal, and you can find out what Bill Hancock had to say to Mark Cuban. That's available in the archives over here at All Access Football. Of course, follow us on NFLDraftBible.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow Taz on Twitter as well, at Fantasy Taz, for all his latest updates and information. And we are winding down for the last, 45 minutes or so of the 2010 season. The 2011 New Year is upon us, and that means it's time to give out some awards, fellas. And as a member of the Pro Football Writers Association, I actually had to submit my ballot on a lot of these things, and I will be posting my ballot online at some point on the NFLDraftBible.com website. We've just been hitting you with so much news and information. I'm trying to keep up myself. But the first award that we're going to hand out here today is for Coach of the Year. And we'll start it off with Ralph Mancini.
Okay, to me it comes down to two guys, Raheem Morris or Steve Spagnuolo. They both did a great job in turning two moribund franchises around. To me, I would go with Steve Spagnuolo, especially if he gets his team into the playoffs, and we'll find out if that's the case later on today. Steve Spagnuolo, I'll give him the edge over Raheem Morris because he's actually turned the team around with a rookie quarterback, whereas Raheem Morris had a second-year guy leading the charge there in Tampa Bay. Spagnuolo's done a great job not only with the defense but also with the offense. Here's a team that I think is on the verge of turning things around and being a quality team going forward. They got some nice pieces over there. Now the only question is Steven Jackson going to stay healthy enough for the next 2-3 years and continue being that franchise back going forward? But if he does or if he doesn't, I still think this is a solid team with a great quarterback. He's got some good young receivers that I think can flourish. And that defense, Steve Spagnuolo knows defense, and I think that here's a solid team going forward. I love the job that he's done. I'm going to go with Steve Spagnuolo.
All right, I like your candidates, and when you have Fred Robbins playing Pro Bowl caliber football for you, you're doing something right there in St. Louis. Taz, how about you, Coach of the Year?
No, I definitely like those two choices, two good choices. But, you know, for me, it really comes down to somebody who's just really taking his team to the next level. And while those guys have done good jobs at that, I don't think anybody's done a better job than Mike Smith in Atlanta. You know, for this team to come out and take this division, or what looks to be take this division away from the New Orleans Saints, I don't think anybody really gave them the credit to be able to do that. But this team has just done it each and every week, and I think you got to give mad props to the guy for pulling this team together and, you know, really making it a formidable opponent each and every week. So I like Mike Smith.
Yeah, someone I definitely heavily considered for my ballot. Ross, who do you have for Coach of the Year?
Yeah, we've heard my number two and my number three choices in Mike Smith and Steve Spagnuolo, but the guy I have for Coach of the Year in a game that both teams need to win going up against Steve Spagnuolo spanked his team in St. Louis, and that's Kansas City's Todd Haley. He's the guy who gets it for me. That team was so down and out. They hadn't had a sniff of any success, and yeah, I know that the Falcons are going to get the number one seed, but, you know, I have to say, a lot of people predicted them making the playoffs this year, and as far as the Rams go, look, it's nice that they turned it around, but 8-8 isn't that impressive to me. Look, the Chiefs are going to finish 11-5. Basically, Rick, you and me are the only ones who I know who had said that the Chiefs would even have a sniff of the playoffs this year, and we were just picking against the Chargers primarily there. But look, this team's ahead of schedule. I think Haley deserves all the credit in the world for sticking with the plan, and I think, to me, he's Coach of the Year for sure.
See, well, I can't go with Haley. I just have to put this point out. I just hate Todd Haley, and the heck he's put fantasy owners through with Jamal Charles, so I can't go there.
Very subjective view there.
Hey, from looking around the Twitterverse and the internet world, I think you know, it seems like Todd Haley seems to be the favorite here, but I'm going to make a counterpoint to that. And I would give much of his success, I would say a large part of it is due to the fact that Charlie White and Romeo Crennel were brought on board as assistant coaches. And that, to me, if you ask me, that's really like having three head coaches. So I kind of took Todd Haley out of the equation just because of that. I don't think he's solely responsible for the success. In fact, I think Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel have more to do with the Chiefs' success than Todd Haley does. So I did not choose Todd Haley, who seems to be the favorite. Steve Spagnuolo, very strong choice, but I think that the Rams' schedule, you know, they play in the NFC West, the division nobody wants to win. So a lot of those wins came against some cheap quality, lower opponents. So my official ballot actually, and it was tough. Mike Smith was one guy I almost picked, but at the end of the day, I don't think anybody's done more with less than Raheem Morris. And you know what? This Tampa Bay team was predicted to finish last by just about each and every forecaster. You look at the preseason, you know, people were saying this team would be lucky to even have three wins. And, you know, I'll tell you what, they almost made the playoffs. They had their struggles against some of the more quality opponents, but I think coming into the season, nobody expected much of anything from this Tampa Bay team, and quite honestly, I didn't really think much of anything of Raheem Morris. I was one of his biggest critics, and he's from the pride of Irvington. He's from New Jersey. I still wasn't on board with him, but I got to say, after this past season, he has certainly made me a believer.
Hey, Rick, if you're going to bring up schedules, I mean, no team had an easier schedule than the Kansas City Chiefs, by the way.
Okay. I mean, you know, again, my argument there is just like Lovie Smith in Chicago, you know, people think Lovie got smart again. But, you know, Mike Martz and Rod Marinelli have something to do there, just like I believe Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel have something to do in Kansas City.
I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
we'll get to find out firsthand next year now that Charlie Weiss is moving on from Kansas City.
Yeah, you're right about that. We will find out. And from my understanding, Haley and Weiss weren't really on too much of the same page, but some people think Charlie Weiss took a demotion going to the University of Florida as the offensive coordinator. All right, guys, sticking to the awards theme, we handed out the Coach of the Year. We all had different choices, very strong candidates. It'll be interesting to see who takes that home. How about the top GM of the year? Let's start it off with Taz.
You mentioned it before, and I wholeheartedly agree. I got to go with Martin Mayhew and Detroit Lions. I mean, I thought he did an outstanding job last offseason in putting a lot of pieces together for this Detroit Lions team. Didn't quite work out the way they planned, but it's not like they weren't in the games. They weren't getting blown out. They were in a lot of tight games. It just wasn't getting it done. And, of course, Stafford getting hurt constantly isn't helping. But they have a lot of pieces in place. If they have another offseason anything like last year, this team is going to be at a huge boom next year.
Yeah, I think Martin Mayhew is one of the best in the business, especially, you know, when it comes to the draft. I know it's a short body of work to judge from, but definitely an emerging talent evaluator in Detroit. Martin Mayhew, a GM to watch, and will certainly get consideration. Who do you have for us, Ross?
Yeah, Mayhew would be my second choice, only because his team did not, you know, make the playoffs. But I think, to me, I'm going to stick with it, and Rick, your explanation of why Haley shouldn't win Coach of the Year is evidence why Scott Pioli should win the GM of the Year. He brought those two guys in. He's the one who swung the Castle deal. He's the one who brought in all of the talent that they have assembled there, and that team is ahead of schedule, even probably by his standards. Look, I don't know why people aren't giving the Chiefs credit. This team's finishing 11-5, and they're going to beat whoever they play in the first round. I don't care if it's the Jets or the Ravens. They're going to beat them. I think he deserves all the credit in the world, and Rick especially, for bringing in those two guys to help Mr. Haley with the offense and the defense. And I think this team is set for the future primarily because of the way Pioli set it up.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the excellent draft class that he had this past year, which also contributed heavily to the Chiefs' success. Let's go over to the good Reverend for his GM of the Year.
Yeah, actually, Scott Pioli is my number two guy. I also think he did a great job in the draft, taking guys like McCluster, Berry, Arenas, and Tony Moriarty. But my number one guy is from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's Mark Domenech. I mean, you take a look at his draft this past offseason, picking up guys like Aurelius Ben, Mike Williams, Myron Lewis in the third round, who's the eventual successor to Rondae Barber, and also getting something out of Cody Grimm, who had an immediate impact. And he was a seventh-round pick. And then you go back last year, picking up a guy like Josh Freeman and Sam Strouder in the seventh round. And then also getting rid of some dead weight, getting rid of a guy like Antonio Bryant. But then my favorite move that he made was taking a running back like LeGarrette Blount off the scrap heap, a guy that was cut from the Tennessee Titans, a guy that looked very, very good in the preseason, and I was surprised that the Titans gave up on him so quickly. I'm sure they could have used him. But I'm going to go with Mark Domenech here. I like the direction he's going in. He's doing a great job with the draft, and he's building through the draft. And I just like the direction this team is going in. A lot of that roster, a good chunk of that roster, is very young, and it's going to be pretty, pretty formidable for years to come.
Great points. Love it. All very good candidates. I agree with Tampa Bay a lot, too. And, you know, the casual football fan, a lot of people think LeGarrette Blount didn't get drafted because of the whole punch, you know, Boise State gate incident.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, this guy was in camp with Tennessee Titans, and Jeff Fisher just cut him. And at the time, they were hoping that it could be, you know, kind of fill that Lendale White role. And little did they know, they had the answer. They had the guy right in front of their face, and he got cut. And that was a great move by the Tampa Bay Bucs to pick him up, and it might have ultimately cost Cadillac Williams a job because Cadillac could be driving to a new home next season. But at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, I had to vote for Scott Pioli. I just think he did a wonderful job in the draft. As Ross mentioned, he finagled the deal for Matt Castle, even though it was two seasons ago. He laid the foundation down and then followed it up by bringing in Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel this year. So Scott Pioli was definitely my vote. Although I must say, you know, those New England Patriots were close, and I would say, looking ahead to next season, they might be the early front runners. If you want to get sick to your stomach, fathom this, that the New England Patriots will have three of the top 33 picks in the upcoming 2011 draft. If you want to get sick to your stomach, think about that. All right, guys. Sticking to our theme here, you know, something that I'm sorry, we do have a caller waiting on the line. Let's go over to the phone line. 707, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, I just want to give a big thanks out to you guys for all your advice throughout the year. And, Taz, you are one of the few experts out there that will stand on somebody and say, hey, pick this guy. I'm standing behind him. And so many of these experts give out like 30 different sleepers out there, but hell, I can hit 30 different sleepers. You know, but Taz, thanks for picking Knicks. You stood up and said, hey, he's going to be a top 10 guy. You don't get too many of these guys who get out there and say that. You know, it's really, really nice, and I did get him in a lot of my leagues, and thanks a lot for that, Taz. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the love. But you know what? You're listening to three other guys that do that each and every week, so if you're not listening to this show on the regular, you might be missing that because these guys are all great at that as well.
No. I know these guys are good. The bad thing is that there's a lot of podcasts out there that just like, what am I listening to here? But hey, guys, again, thanks for your advice. I got a quick question for you. We do play. We're a total points league, and it's a 250 point passes. You get those in yards for your quarterback. You get a bonus. But I have my options are Palmer, Collins, Cobb, or Castle. Castle's in the pass for a lot of yards, so I doubt if it hit that 250. They're probably going to concentrate on the run, so I'm kind of iffy on him. But I'm, what do you guys think between those quarterbacks for a 250 bonus?
Taz, why don't you kick that off?
I tell you the truth, I love Kevin Cobb this week going up against that Dallas secondary that can't stop anybody. They're giving up a ton of points to opposing quarterbacks. I think Cobb is playing for a chance to start for somebody else next year. I think he comes out firing, and even without his main guys, I think he's still got enough talent around him that he's going to put up big points and big yardage.
Yeah, I agree with you, Taz. I think he's the one guy that is certainly going to eclipse that 250-yard barrier you have there, so I would go with him for sure.
Yeah, make that three. I also like Cobb as well. And the one advantage that he has over those other guys is he's actually fresh. I mean, this guy hasn't played for a while, so you know that he's healthy, you know that he's raring to go, and you know he's going to be well-prepared.
Well, 707, I'm sold on Kevin Cobb. You know, here's one guy who has something to play for, and he's probably, you know, auditioning himself for 31 NFL teams right now.
One last question. I got a flex position. I've got Pierre Thomas, who I heard he tweaked his ankle. I did grab Christopher Ivory, and I got Felix Jones. Again, this is going to be 100 yards on these guys for a bonus.
Now, I think, guys, you were saying Pierre Thomas is out this week?
It's looking very iffy for Pierre Thomas to play this week. I don't like him a lot. And did you say you did get Chris Ivory this week?
Yes, I did.
Well, I tell you what, I love Chris Ivory. He's fully healthy. He practiced all week. And the last time he faced Tampa Bay, he had over 150 yards rushing. I like his chances.
All right, so it becomes Chris Ivory or Felix Jones, Ross.
Yeah, this week I'm going with Taz's recommendation here. I echo that. I think Chris Ivory did go off against Tampa first time, and I think he does it again. And I Felix Jones over 100 yards? You got to be kidding.
Yeah, and I would go with Ivory myself just because you want to stay away from that situation out in Dallas. Like right now, they have a three-headed monster out there between Deshaun Choice, Felix Jones, and Marion Barber III. So you don't know who's going to get the most carries out of that group there. I think I would go with Ivory myself.
Good point.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks a lot for all your great advice again. Look forward to hearing with you guys, working with you guys again next year, and happy New Year's, guys.
Hey,
yes,
good luck.
Sir. Happy New Year to you. Yep, appreciate the call, 707. Always enough love to go around. You know, hey, guys, can't thank you guys enough for making us relevant. So thanks for tuning in each and every week and making this a show that people care about. And, you know, good point about the Dallas backfield. You know, it's so crowded right now. There's already rumblings. You know, it seems like if you keep your finger on the pulse when it comes to these NFL rumors, I've seen, you know, anywhere from Tashard Choice, Felix Jones, Marion Barber, each and every week it seems like somebody else is going to be getting moved during the offseason. Supposedly, the Cowboys actually like this kid, Lonnie Miller, from Fresno State as well, who's also on the roster. They're trying to work him into the equation. Lonnie Miller was actually the starting running back for Fresno State before he got hurt, and then Ryan Matthews kind of step in, and you know the rest of the story. But Lonnie Miller, a guy that the Cowboys are trying to work into that backfield, so keep an eye on that situation during the offseason because, you know, there's a good chance that one of, if not two of those guys, could get moved during the offseason. Felix Jones has been really a disappointment, in my opinion. But, you know, it's the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show with Rick Serratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, and Jim Day. It's the season finale. What do you know about that? About 20 minutes left in the show, guys. Got some questions to run through. We'll talk a little bit about some head coaching, hot seats, who's staying, who's going. But first, let's get it out of the way since everybody wants to know the Super Bowl predictions from these experts. Let's go around the table and start it off with Rostradamus, Ross Mandel. Who do you have playing in Big D come February?
Yeah, I was talking up the Packers before, and I'm going to talk them up now. I think we're going to see a replay of Super Bowl 31, New England, Green Bay. There will be no Dez Howard. New England wins it.
Wow. Okay. Over to the Reverend Ralph Mancini. Are you going to have some shockwaves like Ross did there?
Yeah, I think he's reading my notes here. I also like Green Bay to make it to the Super Bowl. I like Green Bay winning. Hey, it's a quarterback's league. It's all about the quarterback, and I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh.
And Green Bay also has the defensive MVP of the league there in Clay Matthews Jr. They have a good secondary. I'll go with Green Bay 34-30 over the New England Patriots.
Wow. Okay, so Taz, these guys have the Packers going on the road, winning three games and taking home the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
Please,
they're going
to lose.
Guys,
I want to know what these guys are smoking. These guys are smoking the good stuff. You know what? Right now in the NFC, I'm going to put my marbles in one bucket, and I'm going with the New Orleans Saints to get there again. I'm sorry, they're playing good football right now. I just don't think anybody can stop them, including the Packers. I think their defense is just going to shut down opposing offenses, and their offense is just going to be too good to stop. I think Colson will be back in time for the playoffs, and I think that makes a major point for them going forward. In the AFC, I mean, all signs point to the Patriots, but I'm going to go against the Patriots. I think the only team that has a chance to really short-circuit the Patriots is the Baltimore Ravens. I think their defense can get all over Brady and shut him down, and I think their offense can definitely score against him. So right now I'm going again with the Saints against the Ravens in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to go with a surprise pick and have the Ravens beating the Saints in the Super Bowl.
Not with that
secondary. Hey, Taz, I hope you're right about Baltimore, but the one thing that worries me about the New Orleans Saints is that Drew Brees this year has been throwing a lot of interceptions at inopportune times, and that's the one thing that worries me about them.
Yeah, you know what, but he's the kind of quarterback that he can make up for his mistakes. He's not Eli.
No, he's not. You're exactly right. I think it's interesting that we're both going with wild cards out of the NFC. To me, that means we all think it's pretty wide open, huh?
Well, I have different picks than all of you guys, and you know, listen, I do think that the Ravens can take care of business and take care of the Patriots. We saw them do that last year. To me, the best, most complete team in the AFC, and look, I love what New England's done. I think they patched together a no-name defense that I just feel in the playoffs is going to get exposed. And look, this all hinges on Troy Polamalu being healthy, but I think the Steelers are the team built for the playoffs. So I'm going with Pittsburgh in the AFC. In the NFC, I really like the New Orleans Saints are playing good football right now. They're gelling at the right time. They have a possibility of getting all their running backs healthy at the same time, something they haven't had all season, but they're not my pick. Atlanta Falcons, definitely a team that I would probably pick before the season and liked for most of the season, but as it sits right now, you know, the team that's really made me a believer, and they're kind of flying under the radar, but I think they're going to take care of business and get the job done, and that's the Chicago Bears. I like the Steelers over the Bears in the
Super Bowl. Good luck with Jay Cutler in three games, bro.
And you know what? The reason I don't think I can be behind the Steelers is that offensive line play. I think they're going to have a bad time against really good defenses.
And man, I heard it all before when Kyle Orton was the quarterback. So,
well, you know what? You know what really makes me cast some doubt on the Chicago Bears is their defense. I mean, they did a horrible job versus the Jets. You know, to me, they're not a shutdown defense. They're far from it.
I'd be surprised if the Bears won a game.
Hmm. Okay, we shall see. Again, you know, everybody counted them out a couple years ago when they made a run. I think they're legit. I think they're the real deal, and I think they're going to wreak havoc. So Steelers and Bears, oh my. All right, guys, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. We've got 15 minutes left. Let's talk about some burning questions, random questions, and we'll start it off with you, Ralph. Everybody wants to know, what are the Carolina Panthers going to do with the first overall pick in the 2011 draft?
Well, the big question will be, will they select a quarterback? And I think if their guy is there, and their guy is Andrew Luck, and that's a guy that a lot of teams will be looking at, I think if he is there and he's available and he does actually declare for the NFL, I think they will definitely go with him. So that's my pick for Carolina.
All right, well, there's a good chance Andrew Luck will not declare, Taz. And, you know, we all know the story of Oliver Luck. We know that Andrew Luck is really not hurting for cash right now at the moment, and he's looking to get that Stanford education. So let's just play devil's advocate and say Andrew Luck does not declare. What do you got the Panthers doing with that number one pick?
You know what? If Andrew Luck doesn't declare, then I don't think they go quarterback with that number one pick. I think it's taking too much risk with the other quarterbacks that'll be in the draft. So I think they either go with A.J. Green at wide receiver, who I think is probably the best player in this year's draft, or I think they could surprise and go after somebody like a Nick Farley, who could come in at defensive tackle and really shore up that defensive line.
Yeah, two guys that are definitely in that top five, top ten overall mix. Ross, any chance the Panthers could go with a wild card here and take Cam Newton?
No, absolutely not. Not at the number one spot. Look, this team needs a lot of things. And I think primarily if Andrew Luck does not declare, I think they're going to trade down to a slot where they will be able to draft a quarterback. If they want to take Cam Newton, they're more than welcome to. But I think they'll trade down if they don't get Andrew Luck.
If they can find a trading partner.
I think they will.
Interesting. Okay, let's move it around here. Taz, tell me where Donovan McNabb is going to land in 2011.
I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him land in either Arizona or San Francisco. I think both of these teams feel that they have a lot of good pieces in place. I think they both feel that they just need a quarterback that can get the job done. And right now, McNabb is better than what they have on their rosters.
Well, Arizona's going to have to do something drastic to keep Larry Fitzgerald around. Ross, where do you see McNabb ending up next season?
Those are two solid choices, but I'm going to throw a third into the mix with a team that has shown that they are clearly capable of going for the desperation play, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. I think he plays in Minnesota next year.
Interesting. Ralph, your thoughts?
Yeah, I actually read a report that Arizona's not interested in Donovan McNabb. I don't know how much credence I can put into that report, but that's what I'm hearing. I think that McNabb, as Ross said, I think he goes to the Minnesota Vikings. Their best player is Adrian Peterson. You want to get a good veteran quarterback in there and I don't know how good he is, but you want to get a good veteran quarterback in there while Peterson is in his prime. He's going to Minnesota.
All right. Boy, that would be interesting, and we'll see how that unfolds. I know one place he won't be playing is in Washington. Of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a little bit more about the NFL draft. So we're going to go over to our coaching hot seat in a second. But first, I want to know about one player right now that nobody's talking about that come April, come draft time, Ross, everybody will know about.
Yes. Well, look, I'm going to go with what's going to end up being a guy that people are going to end up talking about, and that's Benjamin Ojulana out of Villanova, offensive lineman. He's going to be this year's Vlad Dukas, although I think he has a little more potential. I'm not sure what the rest feels about Dukas at this point. But look, when these small school guys start making an impression, everybody piles on the underdog bandwagon, and I think Ojulana is going to be that guy this year from Villanova.
Good pick. I like it. Villanova doing their thing, maybe making a move to the Big East next season. They're too good. Yeah, and they got two Senior Bowl invites, the offensive lineman that you speak about, Ojulana, and then also the wide receiver, Matthews Sitzer. some tough names to pronounce, but, definitely some players to keep an eye on. So I love it. Good stuff. Go ahead, Rev.
Yeah, one guy, an underclassman, I don't know if he declares or not, but if he does, keep an eye on him, and that's Andre Ellington out of Clemson. He's a game breaker, a guy who runs hard, a guy that's got some speed to the perimeter. I really love Andre Ellington if he comes out. Another guy is Ori Lemon, the middle linebacker from Oklahoma State, a kid who was hurt last year, came back, had a fantastic season with 133 tackles. He's a solid guy, doesn't have 4-5 speed, but he reads plays and he hits you like a Mack truck. He's a PFA right now, but I think he's a guy that's going to get drafted. So give me Andre Ellington and Ori Lemon.
All right, digging in the crates, the good Reverend is. How about you, Taz? You got somebody we should keep an eye on?
Absolutely, and that's going to be Delaware quarterback Pat Devlin. Transferred out of Penn State and went into Delaware, and a small school, but it's got a great lineage for quarterbacks. I mean, Joe Flacco came from there. I like this kid. He's having an outstanding season. Completed over 68% of his passes this year, 2,800 yards, 22 touchdowns with only 2 interceptions. He's got good size. He's got a strong arm. He's a smart quarterback. I think this is a guy who probably get drafted somewhere in the 3rd or 4th round, but don't be surprised by him because I think he's got a great chance to go on and do something at the NFL level.
Hey, Rick, somewhere Josh Buchanan smiling after this these answers.
Absolutely, and you talk about pinpoint accuracy. Pat Devlin, a lot of people upset that Devlin did not receive a Senior Bowl invite. He will actually be playing in the East-West Shrine Game, but you know what? Sometimes when you have a good performance in the Shrine Game, that Senior Bowl invite tends to trickle down. I have a feeling a lot of NFL personnel types will want to see Devlin on that Senior Bowl spotlight stage. So we deliver all kinds of analysts like this over at the NFL Draft Bible. If you like it, there's all kinds of good stuff just like this and more at NFLDraftBible.com. I'm going to give you a guy who declared just recently, a day or so ago, and that's going to be Temple's defensive tackle, Muhammad Wilkerson. He has foregone his senior season. I think here's a kid that's going to move up just like Tyson Alualu did last season, completely off the radar as a mid-round guy, I think, in most people's opinions. A lot of people were scouting the safety kid on Temple this year, and this kid Wilkerson was just jumping out on tape all over the place. So Muhammad Wilkerson is going to be the guy that I could actually see maybe moving up as high as, maybe the back end of that first round, early second. So I like Muhammad Wilkerson. And again, NFLDraftBible.com, we have all the bowl game scouting analysis and all that good stuff from these gentlemen here. All right, guys, we got about 10 minutes or so left in the show. A lot of coaches on the hot seat this year. We're going to skip around and see how many we can cover. I think for the most part, it's all but a foregone conclusion, unless the Giants really embarrass themselves this week. I would tend to think that Tom Coughlin will be back next season. Does anybody disagree with that?
Only in my wildest dreams.
Me too.
And, you know, listen, if it was up to me and I could get Bill Cowher, I would definitely make that move. It's not that I don't think Tom Coughlin's a good coach. I just don't think he's a good coach.
He's average.
He makes many stupid mistakes. His team is never prepared at the start of a game.
Exactly.
They just keep turning the ball over. Little things.
Mm-hmm.
We could sit here and talk about the mishaps of Tom Coughlin all day. He does have a Super Bowl on his resume. I understand his teams tend to collapse. I believe that the best fit for Tom Coughlin would be to go back to college, if you want my honest take on it. But, looks like he's here to stay. We're going to call this safe or out, a little baseball terminology for the NFL coaching hot seat. The next guy I want to talk about is Jeff Fisher, who's been in Tennessee for 17 seasons. Reports are that he will not want to be retained if ownership is going to keep Vince Young as the starting quarterback. Ross, from all things, it sounds like Bob McNair is siding with the quarterback on this one, so I must ask, is Jeff Fisher safe or out?
He is out, and ironically, kind of out because of a quarterback from Texas. Jeff Fisher will end up in Texas coaching the Cowboys.
Okay, interesting. I have heard some of that talk that if he's under contract, Tennessee might actually look to trade Jeff Fisher, and Jerry Jones just might be there waiting to do so. Ralph, let me move it over to you in Houston. Gary Kubiak, does he keep his job?
I know that the organization really likes him, but I think he's outy like Kurt Gowdy if he loses, because a lot of the fans are just frustrated with him, and they're just going to riot in the streets if he stays and if he loses this week. So if he loses, he's definitely gone.
Rick, you know he's friends with your boy Elway.
Yes, this is true. I'm actually hearing some talk that Houston will retain Kubiak and actually bring on Wade Phillips as their defensive coordinator. Definitely a story to watch. And speaking of Wade Phillips, he will be one of the coaches in the East-West Shrine Game. Wade Phillips and Dan Reeves will be. So if you're into that, they'll be coaching the East-West Shrine Game. And Wade Phillips could be in Houston playing that defensive coordinator role to Gary Kubiak next season. Taz, Eric Mangini, safe or out in Cleveland?
He's out. He's not a Mike Holmgren guy. Never has been. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Mike Holmgren on that sideline next year.
Oh, interesting. I like the twist. People have been calling that since the day he took over, so maybe Mike Holmgren will hire Mike Holmgren. Be interesting to see. All right, let's do another round here. We have over in Cincinnati, keeping it in the state of Ohio, Ross, Marvin Lewis, your boy, safe or out in 2011?
3-2. He is gone, dude. Even the Bengals can't afford to keep Marvin Lewis there. I just think the whole thing is going to get rebooted, and everybody's gone.
All right. How about this one, Ralph? It might be a little off the wall to think it, but, you know, anything's possible with Daniel Snyder. And after the season that Mike Shanahan just had, I would say that was a debacle. Shanahan, is he safe or out for the new year?
No, I think he's safe. I mean, yeah, he hasn't had a great first season as a head coach. But, I mean, look, when you brought this guy on, you made a commitment to him. You know, you got to give him at least 2 to 3 years. I mean, there's really not much there for him to work with the Washington Redskins. It wouldn't be fair to get rid of him after only 1 year.
All right. And how about down in sunny Miami, Taz? You know, we saw the Bill Parcells abandon ship. A lot of people saying that Jeff Ireland and Tony Sperano, and even Chad Henne for that matter, that whole era could be done and swept under the rug. Does Sperano live to see another day?
No, I don't think so. I think he's definitely out. You know, they had high hopes for that team this year, and just nothing seemed to work the way they thought. They brought in the great receiver in Marshall, and that didn't help. I think Sperano's out. I think they're going to make major changes.
All right. You know, John Fox got canned by the Panthers. He'll coach this game Sunday. Ross, you know, since you're our Giants, residential Giants guru, do you care to weigh in on John Fox possibly coming back as the D coordinator, or do you think Perry Fuel is safe for now?
Well, I think Perry Fuel's probably safe for now, but if you ask me again next year, if the defense plays as poorly as it has this year in crunch time and pretty much throughout the season. I think I would say John Fox will be back, but he'll have a job way before the end of this coming season in 2011. So I don't think John Fox comes back to the Giants.
Hey, Taz, I don't know about you, but Tower and Fox are sounding nice to me.
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, I would definitely be very happy for both of those additions. I don't have anything against Perry Fuel, but like Ralph said, he just really didn't get it done three times this year.
Yeah, you know, at what point does it become the defense not playing well and start to become the defense just isn't as talented as people think?
Well, this is true. I mean, they have O.C. Manoa and Justin Tuck. Aside from that, I think a lot of those players are overrated.
I think they're overrated.
Yeah, I do want to stay in Jersey quickly. Ralph, you know, your boy Brian Schottenheimer is getting all kinds of head coaching consideration. I think whatever organization picks him up to do so is playing with poison. If anything, on the Jets coaching staff, I would think the offensive coordinator would be where they look to make a change. I'm not a big fan of Shoddy. What's your take?
I've never been a big fan of Brian Schottenheimer. Here's a guy that from week to week, that offense is very inconsistent. I don't think Mark Sanchez has developed like a lot of people would have liked to have seen him flourish this year. I just don't see the consistency there that makes Brian Schottenheimer a good coach. I would stay away from him as well.
All right, so there you have it, guys. It's the close of another season. 2010 is in the books. Thanks for joining us all. For Rick Servitella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, and Jim Day, let's do it one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!